This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The big question in business, why is it so hard to create jobs in this economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The economy created 39,000 jobs in November, but the nation's unemployment rate ticked up to 9.8%, the highest since April. And I can tell you, analysts were expecting a lot better from the Labor Department employment report just released a few moments ago. We're going to get an explanation of what's going on from Gus Fauché, director of macroeconomics from Moody's Analytics. He's with us live from just outside of Philadelphia in Westchester, PA. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Your initial reaction?
Very disappointing. We were expecting something closer to 150,000. And some of the other numbers were weak, too, in terms of average hourly earnings and the average work week.
Oh, I heard reports 150, as you say, or 200,000 or more, right?
Yeah, I mean, all the indicators were pointing to a very strong month for the labor market, and then to come in with this 39,000 figure is very disappointing.
So all the signs were pointing to something a lot more positive. Why are we still mired, Gus, in unusually high unemployment?
Well, I think there are a couple factors out there. I think businesses and consumers are still nervous. I think businesses may be still reluctant to hire. They're just anxious about what's going on out there. And then there may be some seasonal factors. It's tough to get things right around the holiday season when there's a lot of seasonal hiring. So it could be that the number next month will be stronger.
Hey, 20 seconds or so. What's it going to take to kick this recovery up a notch?
Well, I think two things that we need are an agreement on what we're going to do about the expiring Bush tax cuts, and then we need to get extended unemployment insurance benefits so those people who have lost their jobs can continue to spend.
So some legislation there, too.
All right.
Gus Fauché from Moody's Analytics, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. There's a report out today from the International Monetary Fund on real estate prices in China. It says the housing markets in large Chinese cities are becoming more and more disconnected from reality. As a matter of fact, some home prices in Shanghai and Beijing are on par with lofts in Manhattan. Well, we've already seen what a U.S. housing bubble does to the global economy, but what about a Chinese bubble? Here's Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz.
First of all, let's get this straight. If there is a bubble in China, it hasn't yet burst. In fact, much of the IMF report actually says China's in good shape, but the IMF's crystal ball has been cloudy in the past. So let's assume China's property market is in trouble, like some economists say. If there's any impact on the U.S., says economist Michael Pettis, it'll start with China's real estate developers.
You've heard all the cliches about half of the building cranes in the world are in China and stuff like that. I don't know how true that is, but certainly real estate development has been a huge generator of growth in China.
Pettis says a property downturn in China might mean all those cranes would disappear from the skylines of cities across the country.
If it has a big impact on real estate development, then it would have an impact on commodity prices.
In other words, shipments of building materials would slow. Less demand would mean the prices of copper, steel, aluminum, you name it, would tank. And surprise, that would actually be great for the U.S. Cheaper building materials equals better business. Pettis says it'd be like a big tax cut. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mixed at the moment. As a matter of fact, earlier today we had mixed thoughts over in Asia. European shares, and I'm talking about 10 minutes ago, they were up, and now they're down already, down about 0.25% across the board in Europe. And also today, yesterday, the Dow tacked on 106 points to end the day at 11,362.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
President Obama is expected to sign a $4.5 billion child nutrition bill that passed the U.S. House yesterday, part of First Lady Michelle Obama's campaign against childhood obesity. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about obesity as part of the Marketplace Globalist Quiz. And Stefan Richter is publisher and editor-in-chief of TheGlobalist.com. He's with us now. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning. So I take it you're ready for today's quiz.
I am ready. Give it to me.
Which of these countries has the highest obesity rate? The United States, Mexico, Saudi Arabia, or Russia? A nice global spread.
Let's see. All right. So it there's some great food in Mexico. But wow, the United States is home to fast food. Lots and lots of fast. I'm going to say the United States.
Yes, you are right. The United States leads the way. 46.3% of its population is considered obese.
Wow. That's 46%.
46%. And you know what's worse? There's a regional cluster here. You talked about Mexican food.
Yeah.
Mexico's number three behind Argentina, which is in number two. So that's the wrong kind of sense for the Western Hemisphere to lead the way globally.
How much higher, Stefan, is the obesity rate in the United States than the other countries, the number two, three, and you know the rest of them?
Number two and three are close together. And in fact, of the 20 G20 nations, three are over 30%. That's the U.S., Argentina, and Mexico. The club remains quite obese because seven of them are over 25% obese. Number four is Saudi Arabia, which I'd offered up, Australia, Canada, and the UK. Again, there's a little bit of a worrisome pattern because all of these four countries are great United States allies on foreign policy matters. So I hope nobody starts talking about an alliance of the obese and willing.
maybe some more calisthenics for them.
Yes, sport in high schools
that's
and
right.
everywhere, and less Coca-Cola, that's and less snack food. People just can't resist this good stuff coming.
All right. Well, duly noted, Stefan Richter from The Globalist. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and stay slim.
We will try, Stefan Richter. For more insights, check out TheGlobalist.com. And finally, Yahoo's come out with a list of the top five search terms of 2010, which curiously is still 4 weeks from being over. The usual suspects are there, Lady Gaga, Kim Kardashian, and Miley Cyrus. Soccer's World Cup came in at number two. And the top Yahoo search item for 2010? The BP oil disaster. A lot of people, Yahoo said, were transfixed by that underwater spill cam and the various ways various people tried to plug that huge hole at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The economy's not quite better, but still, Black Friday sales were pretty good, and toys? Crazy, even for grown-ups.
I'll go and visit with executives of a major American corporation or with politicians. They remember, to a person, the toys they played with and the influence they had on them.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, a conversation from the Toys R Us corner office next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.